Despite all the protests, Planned Parenthood is still funded by the U.S. taxpayer, at least to some degree. In fact, to a degree of about $500 million a year. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is a returning guest, Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. Eric, thanks so much for joining us again.
I'm so glad to be with you again.
Okay, so Planned Parenthood is still funded by the American taxpayer. What is their annual budget, first of all?
Planned Parenthood's annual budget is a little over $1 billion a year.
Okay, so then half of it comes from us, from you and I.
That's right. State and federal taxpayer dollars account for roughly a third or a little more of Planned Parenthood's budget. We hear a third, we hear a half. I think it varies from year to year, too, depending on exactly what their full budget is and what kind of money they bring in for other things. But it's a major, major portion of Planned Parenthood's budget every single year.
Okay.
Tax dollars.
All right, here we are in early May, and I know, an incoming president can't just snap his fingers and everything changes and so forth, but one of the promises was to defund Planned Parenthood as long as they continue with abortions, and Planned Parenthood continuing with abortions is a given, really, when it comes to that organization. So, where is the pro-life movement now? I'm sure a lot of people are disappointed, at least at this stage.
Well, President Trump did a couple of things right away that were very good and moved the ball in the right direction for defunding Planned Parenthood. Number one, he reinstated what's called the Mexico City policy. That's a policy established, I think it was back in the Reagan administration,
yes.
Or maybe it was Bush 1.
I think it was
that,
Reagan.
That blocks any taxpayer, U.S. taxpayer dollars from being used internationally for abortion. So basically forbids from receiving U.S. Grant money organizations around the globe that would provide abortions or do abortion referrals or promotion. And this was a way of ensuring that the American taxpayer is not contributing to abortion internationally. Of course, Bill Clinton overturned it. George Bush II brought it back in. President Obama overturned it. It's an executive order the president is in charge of. So President Trump reinstated the Mexico City policy, effectively defunding International Planned Parenthood Federation, which is a sister group of our own Planned Parenthood Federation of America. And so that was a really good step, and it showed the direction he was going to be going. President Trump also signed a special resolution from Congress overturning one of President Obama's last acts in office, which was to shelter at the state level Planned Parenthood facilities from being barred from getting state funds. There has, been a battle at the state level to defund Planned Parenthood, especially in the wake of those horrific body parts harvesting videos that came out.
Right.
An effort on the level of the state to try to defund Planned Parenthood. We don't want to have anything to do with an organization that would be involved in this kind of horrific practice. And the Obama administration fought that very hard.
Eric, about how many states did sign into law such a defunding movement? I know Indiana did.
I think it was a group of about 11 states or so.
I remember
Utah was an important one in this battle because after the governor signed the legislation defunding Planned Parenthood, they sued, and one of the federal judges that sat on the appellate panel that heard part of that case was none other than Neil Gorsuch, who was confirmed to the United States Supreme Court. And he defended the state's right to defund Planned Parenthood in that case. That was one of the very encouraging precedents and rulings that the pro-life movement looked at. But I would point then to the appointment of Neil Gorsuch as another good sign of President Trump fulfilling his promises. Much more difficult, though, when it comes to actually defunding Planned Parenthood, because now we're outside of the realm of presidential appointments and executive orders, and we're in the realm of legislation that has to be hammered out through both chambers of Congress with the threat of filibuster and all the rest. Right now, the most practical way to defund Planned Parenthood is through what's called the reconciliation process. This is the process every year where the Senate and the House of Representatives take the two budget bills that they both come up with for the annual budget, and they reconcile the differences. That's why it's called reconciliation. And this process is one of the very few cases in which legislation does not face the possibility of a filibuster in the Senate, where you need 60 votes to stop debate and actually get a bill passed. This is a straight up and down You know, simple majority, 51 votes is all you need, and we have the votes there. So right now what's happening is that Congress is trying to use this reconciliation process with its low voter threshold in the Senate to appeal and replace Obamacare. And as part of that repeal and replace, they've included defunding of Planned Parenthood. It's a really good place to do it because you can do it with this low vote threshold. So that's what's happening right now. We all saw the headlines about the American Health Care Act that was floated and that a lot of people didn't like, some conservatives didn't like it, some moderates didn't like it for various reasons, and it went down in flames. Now they've kind of revamped it and are attempting to reintroduce it and get a vote very soon. So that's what's happening on the congressional level, but it's a very slow, very arduous process, and you've got so many different groups that all have their own priorities on not just pro-life, but any number of other issues that are all wanting to weigh in on it. So it's, we really need a lot of prayers, and we need to work very hard to see that this thing comes through.
Okay, good. Can you clarify something that you were talking about earlier, and I so rudely interrupted you, but I just want to clarify this. And it was the point about some of the states, and you said maybe it was 11 or so, some of the states had actually passed in their own legislatures bills to not allow state funding of Planned Parenthood. What is it that the Obama administration did in reference to those states?
Obama signed an executive order that would make it more, that would make it difficult, if not impossible, for states to defund Planned Parenthood. He was using the rules surrounding Title X. Title X is a federal statute that's meant to provide health services, mostly surrounding contraception, to low-income Americans. And it's a very complicated situation, but what Obama was trying to do was sort of give a parting gift to Planned Parenthood and establish a rule whereby you can't exclude abortion providers from getting these Medicaid funds. Now, the federal government, in most cases, doesn't actually pay for abortion through Medicaid funds. There's some exceptions to that. But primarily, it's not abortion they're paying for directly, but they do pay money for other services, like STD testing, contraception, and so forth, through Medicaid to companies like Planned Parenthood that also provide abortions. So Obama was trying to protect Planned Parenthood from being defunded at the state level, the state part of the funds that they get from Medicaid. And the Senate and the House together passed this resolution, and President Trump signed it, that would undo that rule that Obama had established.
Okay.
In other words, making it more possible for the states to defund Planned Parenthood and actually succeed at it rather than having it stopped by a federal court.
All right. Now,
or a federal bureaucrat.
Sure, sure. Going back to Planned Parenthood, there is even some controversy in the sense that at one point, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, who, you know, her initial whole thing, in addition to eugenics and other bad stuff like that, and then she even spoke to the KKK. A lot of people don't realize that. But her big push was the birth control issue, Birth Control League. Wasn't she at least at one point even opposed to abortion, personally?
I suspect that Margaret Sanger was never really committedly against abortion. We don't really know too much about what her private views may have been, but publicly Planned Parenthood was opposed to abortion. And I think Margaret Sanger and her early collaborators knew that abortion was very opposed by most Americans and that they couldn't get away with supporting it. So if you look at Planned Parenthood literature as late as the early 1960s, it talks about abortion as different from contraception and dangerous for women, and it kills your baby. This is the kind of language that they use.
Wow. Planned Parenthood.
It wasn't until Margaret Sanger had passed away and the laws began to change that Planned Parenthood became a major abortion advocate and performed their first abortion in 1970 in New York.
Oh, wow. So even in the 1960s, Planned Parenthood was not necessarily in the abortion business. It was
not. No, they weren't. Not until the very late 60s, as the laws began to change around the country. Planned Parenthood's first abortion was in 1970.
You know, I'm glad to hear this because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was offered an award by Planned Parenthood. Of course, he was shot in 1968. But in 1966, I believe, is when they gave him that award. But if they were not in the abortion business, you know, to blame him for what they later did is, you know, is historically anachronistic.
That's right. I mean, I still think it's a real shame and a blight on his, you know, otherwise such impressive career,
yeah,
that Dr. Martin Luther King was allied with Planned Parenthood in that way. You know, Planned Parenthood very much wanted to reach out to the black community, and he helped them to do that. You know, and Planned Parenthood does a lot of bad things besides abortion, their whole sex ed program, and, you know, the way that they think about marriage and all this is very problematic. But it wouldn't be fair to say that Martin Luther King was awarded by an abortion company, because Planned Parenthood wasn't involved in the abortion business directly at that time.
Okay, so where do we go from here in terms of trying to defund Planned Parenthood?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, our leaders in Congress are attempting to float another version of the American Health Care Act, this effort
Obamacare.
Repeal and replace the Obamacare.
Okay.
And that legislation would include defunding Planned Parenthood, preventing Planned Parenthood from getting federal funds. It's the most likely way for it to happen.
Okay.
If that goes down in flames, they can still use the reconciliation process to attempt to defund Planned Parenthood as a standalone measure, or maybe it bundled up with a smaller number of things rather than this big omnibus health care, you know, reformation bill. So what we need to have happen right now, number one, we need to be praying ardently that our leaders in Congress will get it together, that the Tuesday group of Republican moderates and the Freedom Caucus of Republican libertarians will all get on board with this measure and stomach some of the things they don't like in order to achieve this incredibly significant goal of defunding Planned Parenthood, which would be a body blow to the abortion industry in the United States.
Hmm.
So prayers. Number two, we need to be reaching out to all of our congressmen and senators in Washington, D.C. and at their district offices, urging them to pass this measure, the American Health Care Act, with defunding of Planned Parenthood as part of the package, and get the job done. And that can include, you know, besides just making phone calls, you know, making a visit, having a visit with your representative if they're in town, or if you're visiting Washington, D.C., going to see them in their office to encourage them to follow through on this legislation and do the right thing. And it may even involve getting out on the streets like we did last weekend with Protest PP at all those locations around the country where we brought our prayer vigils and rallies and marches, having a public presence and being out there for the news media to see and for our elected officials to see is also an important way that we can be supporting this effort.
All right, let me ask you this. Doesn't Planned Parenthood make a lot of money related to abortion? And if so, why do they need our taxpayer money, too?
Well, it's really just Planned Parenthood taking advantage of an opportunity to make some money. The federal government has this money set aside for some of the services that Planned Parenthood provides, and so they cash in. They see those patients, and then they're able to bill. And, in fact, they've been caught defrauding Medicaid in several states. They've never had a conviction, so they're still eligible. Every time they get caught, they settle it out of court because they realize that if they're ever convicted, if there's ever a ruling against them, then they would be ineligible anywhere in the country to receive Medicaid funds. So they're very, very careful.
Wow.
When they get caught for defrauding Medicaid. That happened in my home state of Illinois just a few years ago. They're always careful, though, to settle those cases out of court so that they don't get banned from Medicaid. And so Planned Parenthood, yes, they do bring in money for abortion. Abortion is their number one source of clinic income. Most of the dollars coming through the doors of the clinics around the country, there's 650 of them, is for abortion. It's a very lucrative business for them. And, of course, there's other services related to it, ultrasounds that they might do. Some of that gets billed to insurance. Some of it doesn't. Some elements of what they do get billed to taxpayers. A lot of it is a cash business. We know notoriously abortionists love that it's a cash business because it allows them to skirt tax laws, and there have been many, many cases of abortionists being found not guilty of killing children but guilty of evading taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a complex web that Planned Parenthood has nestled themselves in.
And it seems like it's a very greedy organization from everything you can research about it. We're basically out of time, Eric. Your website one more time is?
prolifeaction.org.
Okay, Eric Scheidler, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, sir. God bless you.
Thanks for the opportunity. God bless you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.